Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
Man being the very pinnacle of God's creative genius. And the Bible teaches us that God is Lord of heaven and earth. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. And therefore all people are amenable to God's law. And it just so happens that God has designated His Son Jesus Christ to have all authority. Therefore men are amenable to the authority of Christ and to the law of Christ. There are any number of scriptures that teach accountability and responsibility. The Bible teaches that all of us shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive unto ourselves according to that which we've done in the body, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. In fact, Jesus Himself said concerning that final day that the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather before Him all nations as He sits on the throne of His glory, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 and 32. The Bible tells us that there is coming a day in the which the secrets of the hearts of men shall be judged according to the gospel. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. And yet there are those who would have people to believe that not everyone is amenable to the law of Christ. How could you explain sin if that should be the case? Sin is the transgression of law. And if there is no law, then certainly no one could transgress that law. Romans chapter 4 verse 15 tells us that there must be law in order for there to be transgression. Because the very definition of sin is the transgression of law. Well, if you don't have any law, then there could be no transgression, and thus there could be no sin. Obviously, there has always been law in God's order of things. Because from the very beginning, man has been inclined to transgress God's law. That's seen as early as the Garden of Eden. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, told them that they were free to eat of every tree of the garden with the exception of one. God forbade that they should partake of the fruit of the tree which was in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and warned them very plainly, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they transgressed His law, and thus sin entered into the world. That's what the Bible teaches us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. By one man, sin entered into the world. Well, sin entered into the world as man broke God's law. And so it has been ever since then that there has been sin in the world. Now, we've got to acknowledge the fact that God has given Christ all authority in heaven and on earth. The Lord Himself made that statement very plain in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. That's a very comprehensive statement. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, in His prayer to the Father, Christ made mention of the fact that the Father had given Him authority over all flesh. That's an inclusive statement. All flesh, not part of the nations of the earth, not just some individuals, but all individuals. God hath made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. There are so many other passages that teach the same principle, and we will note those as we go along. He is Lord of lords and King of kings, 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 15, and also again in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. Now in the ancient times, the Jews, having received the law of Moses, very often repeatedly broke God's law, and thus they sinned before God. Those of you in the Wednesday night auditorium class know that for the past several weeks we've been studying from the books of Joshua and Judges, and we're now in the book of 1 Samuel, and we've noted the cycle that was so evident and apparent in Israel's history. How that when things were going good, they would tend to forget God, and then they would go out a whoring, to use a biblical expression, after gods which were no gods at all, and they would turn to idol worship, and then they would get into trouble as God would allow other nations to harass them and to oppress them. Then they would realize that they had transgressed, and they would beg of God to deliver them, and He would. And so there is a pattern of transgression. The propensity to sin was clearly seen among the Jews of the Old Testament. But it was also seen among the Gentiles. Though the Gentiles did not receive a law the same as Israel received a law, yet there was a moral law. And the Gentiles broke that law by refusing to have God in their knowledge. Romans chapter 1 makes that very plain. They did not acknowledge God. They did not give Him thanks, but they became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So the Gentiles also sin. And thus, in the third chapter of the book of Romans, verse 9, Paul said, I have laid the charge, as it were, both to Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. And we need to recognize and understand that. Well, in the time of Christ, certainly they rejected the overtures of God's love. He came to the Jewish nation, and the Bible tells us they that were His own received Him not. John chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus said to the Jewish nation, you will not come to me that you might have life. John chapter 5 and verse 40. They stopped up their ears so that they would not hear. They closed their eyes so that they would not see. And some have well spoken that there is none so blind as he who will not see. And that's the way the Jewish nation as a whole was. They were very obstinate and very rebellious toward the one who was the fulfillment of all the prophetic utterances concerning the coming of the Messiah. And they rejected Jesus as that great prophet that we've just heard about from the third chapter of the book of Acts that Jeff read about concerning him a moment ago. Taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, where Moses plainly said that God will raise up a prophet like unto myself. And it shall be that every soul that will not hearken to that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Well, that prophet came, and the Jewish nation rejected him, and in their rejection of him, they sinned, no question about it. But in the meanwhile, the Gentiles were certainly engrossed in sin. They were bogged down in all sorts of immoral activities. Later, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, largely composed of Gentiles, he made mention of the fact that they had come out of gross iniquity. In chapter 6, he said concerning such sins as fornication and idolatry and adultery and homosexuality, thievery, covetousness, drunkenness, reviling, things of that nature, such as those shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. Those people were sinners. And because of sin, they stood condemned, and they desperately and urgently needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right there, let me pause and say that the reason the Lord commissioned His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel was because men were lost. And men are lost because of sin. And so the gospel is to be preached to all men as God's power to save. Well, to save from what? To save from sin, and thus to save from spiritual death, the consequences of sin. And that's the reason we go and preach the gospel. That's the reason we have the TV program that we have and make all the efforts that we put forth to reach out to people because they're lost in sin. Jews and Gentiles, separated from God because of sin, in desperate need to hear the Savior. When Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians, another congregation composed largely of Gentile converts to the gospel, he wrote concerning their past life. And he said that they had been dead through trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Well, they could not have committed sin had they not been amenable to law. And so we pose the question, what law were they amenable to? Well, Paul wrote the Ephesian letter about AD 62. Obviously, they had transgressed a law. But the law of Moses was no longer in effect. It had been taken out of the way. and a new covenant had come in. So the law of Moses was not in effect from A.D. 33, even though there might have been some who were still giving allegiance to it. But it was no longer binding on anyone. But there was law beyond the time of the law of Moses being taken out of the way. Question, what law was it? There was only one other given, and that was the law of Christ. The one that we talked about this morning, the law of faith. The law of God, as it was called. And that was the law they were amenable to, and that was the law that they had transgressed. And thus Paul wrote of their condition prior to their being obedient to the gospel. They were dead in their trespasses and in their sins. Now with that in mind, let's establish more clearly the authority of Christ. We've already quoted Matthew 28, verse 18, Acts 2:36, but we want to look at a couple of other passages. In John chapter 12 and verse 48 through 50, Christ spoke of having come to speak forth the word of God. If you'll look at verse 48, he said, "He that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one that judgeth him. The word which I speak, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I speak not from myself, but the Father that sent me, he hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life eternal. The things, therefore, which I speak, even as the Father hath said unto me, so I speak." So God Almighty, then, the one we address as our Father, invested in his Son Jesus Christ all authority in heaven and on earth. And it is by the word of Christ that all men will be judged. And that's exactly what Paul taught in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. "There is coming a day in the which all men shall be judged. The secrets of their hearts shall be judged, as it were, by the gospel of Jesus Christ." And in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, the apostle said, "God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge all men by that man whom he hath ordained, inasmuch as he has given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." God spoke concerning Jesus and said, "This is my Son, hear ye him." Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. God speaks to us through his Son. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to our fathers, has in these last days spoken unto us through his Son." There can be no doubt about it that the law of Christ is in effect, and all men are amenable to that law. And if they break that law, if they transgress that law, they thus sin. And the Bible teaches that all indeed have sinned, all have transgressed law. And the question is, what law? The answer is the law of Christ. Now notice 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. Here the Bible tells us that Christ is on the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. He must reign until all of his enemies shall be made his footstool. And the last enemy to be destroyed is the enemy that the Bible calls death. Therefore, we, under the authority of Christ, are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Christ said, "All authority hath been given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now there is a dodge being made today, even by some who profess to be members of the Lord's church, concerning this matter of amenability. There are some who say that only those who become Christians beyond Acts chapter 2, then, are amenable to all the teachings of Christ. And this is, put forward in order to escape the very clear import of such passages as Matthew chapter 19, where Christ taught concerning marriage and divorce. And he made it very plain that whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and that word is a comprehensive word meaning sexual infidelity, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for sexual infidelity, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." And in order to rationalize and escape the import of that teaching, you have some today that are suggesting that not all men are amenable to the law of Christ. And yet the Bible very plainly teaches that all men are amenable to the law of Christ. There may be some in ignorance of that. There may be some who ignore that and who freely, of their own volition, transgress His law without any compunction of conscience whatsoever, but that doesn't change the fact that they have transgressed. And that in God's sight, they therefore would be sinners or transgressors of law. You can have a person living in our country who may freely transgress the law. We know that there are people who do that all the time. That's the reason that the prisons in this nation are brimming full of people, because they have chosen of their own free will to break the law. And when they do, then they are guilty of having broken the law, and our justice system certainly says that they must be punished for the breaking of law. And depending on the seriousness of the transgression of law in the social realm, they're placed in incarceration circumstances for a period of time. In God's sight, sin is sin. Sin is transgression of the law. Whether it be one that we might consider a serious sin or one that we might consider not so serious, the Bible doesn't make that distinction. Sin is sin. And when one transgresses God's law, he is guilty of transgressing God's law. And if one is guilty of sin, then he has separated himself from God and is in desperate and urgent need of being brought back into a right relationship with God. There's only one way that that can be brought into reality, and that's through Jesus Christ. Because there's only one Savior. And those who heed the great prophet of Acts chapter 3... and come to Him on the terms of pardon found inherent within His gospel, are thus saved by the gospel, and they're cleansed from sin by His precious blood. The efficacy of His blood, the power of His blood, cleanses from all sin and iniquity. And certainly that's the very reason God sent Jesus into the world. He didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, because God loved the world. And when we use the word world there in John 3:16 and 17, we're talking about humanity. For God so loved humanity that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have life everlasting. For God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Well, what were they to be saved from anyway? They were to be saved from sin. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of law. Therefore, God's law had been transgressed even before Christ came. Well, you can go back and say, well, the Jews transgressed the law of Moses. That's true. The Gentiles transgressed the moral law. And if you'll read very carefully Romans chapter 2, they did by nature the things that were in the law, or they didn't do by nature the things that were in the law, whichever the case might be. And unfortunately, the Gentile nations chose to blot God out of their minds, and they turned from the Creator to the creature, and they served four-footed beasts and graven images that they made with their own hands, and gave themselves over to licentiousness and all sorts of sexual immorality. Therefore, they sinned. The Jews sinned. But when Christ came and the law of Moses was fulfilled, God ushered in through Christ a new law for all men. And that law we refer to as the law of liberty, the law of Christ, the law of faith, that covenant of grace and truth that we talked about this morning. And no one could sin if that law were not in effect. There must be law before there can be sin. We learned that this morning from the book of Romans. So before there can be sin, there must be law. If there is no law, then there could be no sin. The fact is, there is law. And it's the law of our Lord Jesus Christ, for God gave Him all authority. And He is seated, even as I speak to you, at God's right hand, where there He rules as the King of kings and as the Lord of lords. And all things are in subjection to Him. And He has all authority and all power and all dominion. And every human being is amenable to God's law. And that's the reason the burden of responsibility is so great upon us who know the truth, to try and share that truth with as many people as we possibly can, recognizing and realizing that they are under sin, that they stand condemned until they hear and believe the gospel and obey the terms of pardon found therein. And so we very desperately and urgently want to reach them, because we know that God doesn't want man to be lost. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice how that those two go together. No one can be saved apart from truth. You see, the gospel is truth. And Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They must hear the truth. They must hear the gospel before they can be saved. They're lost right now because they have transgressed law. The law they've transgressed is the law of our Lord. And they need to be saved from transgression, from the condemnation due to transgression. God's will is that all men be saved. That doesn't mean that all men will be saved, because the vast majority are content to remain in a state of transgression. The vast majority seem not to be concerned whatsoever with their spiritual well-being. I had a man tell me the other day that's not in the remotest mark of a Christian. I was talking to him, and he said, "I feel that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven." And I just shook my head in dismay to think of someone making that statement. Obviously, he didn't know anything at all about the Bible. I tried to relay as much as I could to him under the circumstances and intend to contact him further about this matter, because he's like so many other people. They just assume that they're going to be saved. There's nothing to worry about. But what people don't understand is you have law in place. And if that law has been transgressed, then you stand condemned by that law. How thankful we should be, however, that in the law of Christ there is provision for the forgiveness of sin. And God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, come to that body of truth that can save them from sin and from the condemnation due to sin. And therefore, in His long suffering, He waits. God is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, but unfortunately, again, not all will repent. The vast majority will not. The vast majority will not believe. The vast majority do not care. The vast majority will continue to walk in the broad way that leads to eternal destruction. It breaks my heart to consider that, but it's true nonetheless. But that doesn't lessen our responsibility in trying to reach them. We used to sing a song quite often, "Throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today." We used to sing another song, "Bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." But many members of the church will come before the judgment throne without any sheaves, having not thrown out the lifeline, having not tried to save anyone. Paul was commissioned by the Lord to go to the Gentiles and listen to what he was to do. Chapter 26 of the book of Acts, verse 18. "That you might open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive remission of sins." Question, were they sinners? The answer is yes. They were sinners, and they had not been forgiven of sin at the point in time that this was stated to Paul. And he was given the responsibility. "You're to be my chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And I want you to go," the Lord said to them, "and open up their eyes." Well, how was he going to do that? Through the preaching of truth. "That they might turn from darkness to light. That they might turn from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of sins." Well, if there's no law, they couldn't be sinners. But the law of Moses was no longer in effect. And the law of Christ superseded all laws that had gone before. So now we're talking about the law of Christ, the law of the new covenant. And they had transgressed that law. And thus they were blinded by the power of Satan, and they were in darkness, and they needed desperately to be saved and to receive the forgiveness of sins. And thus the Lord gave Paul that responsibility to go to them and take the gospel to them. Well, today we must recognize the need for people to be saved from sin, and that there is only one power to save them from sin, and that's the gospel. And we have a responsibility of taking it to as many people as we can, and making them understand what sin is. I don't believe a lot of people understand what sin is, but they need to know. A lot of folk don't think they're sinners, but in reality they are. And we learned this morning that Christians too can sin, and we need the continuing forgiveness of sins, and that's predicated upon our willingness in a very penitent way to confess and acknowledge our sins before God and seek His forgiveness through the one who is not only our Savior but our continuing advocate before the Father. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. Those that abide in truth and walk in the light as He is in the light and are faithful and loyal and true, even as Brother Dave Miller prayed in the beautiful prayer this morning, help us to be faithful and loyal and true. As long as we are to the Lord in His will, through His grace and through His mercy, we will be saved eternally. And that's what we're striving for. Heaven should be our goal. But we need to recognize that all men are amenable to the law of Christ. And those who've not heard the gospel, those who've not believed the gospel, and those who've not obeyed the gospel are lost in sin. Because, you see, Paul said, I have laid the charge both to Jew and Gentile that all are in sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is the problem, I'm telling you tonight. That's the problem that's in this world. And Satan is the instigator of sin. He is the one that came into the garden and told the lie to Eve. Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. John chapter 8 verse 44. He is the deceiver of the whole world. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 9. So it's going to take you and me working together, hand in hand as it were, with the power of our Lord's promise, I will be with you even unto the end of the world, ringing in our hearts and our ears as we go forth to try our very best to rescue the perishing, to throw out the lifeline, to bring in the sheaves, as it were, into the fold of our dear Lord. If you're present here tonight, and you're not a New Testament Christian, and you are of a responsible age and mind, you need to understand that you are under sin. And that you have a responsibility to yourself, to your own soul, to do that which is necessary in order to be saved from sin, in order to receive the remission of sin through the atoning blood of Christ. And the only way you can do that is by obedience to the gospel, which is God's power to save. Turn away from sin and repentance. Confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ and be baptized straightway into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you'll do that, the Lord will add you to His church. Acts 2 and verse 47. You will be born, as it were, of water and the Spirit into the kingdom of God. John 3 and verse 5. You will enter into Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 verse 27. To be in Christ is one and the same with being added to the Lord's church. It's one and the same with being a citizen of the Lord's kingdom. It's one and the same with being born into the family of God.